In Parshas Toldos, Esav is described as a Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh, as a hunter. And the Ramban comments, Parakafe Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayivaz Esav is a Bechara, Kvar amar hatam sheba'avuro na'osum chira, mimnei shehaya holech lamus b'tsudo hachayos. That the reason Esav was so quick, so dismissive of the Bechara, so quick to sell it, was because he figured he was going to die soon because he was a hunter and that's a dangerous profession. B'karav hu sheyam is b'chayaviv, and it was likely that he probably not outlive his father. Ve'en le Bechara shema'ala rakachrei av, so he thought that the Bechara wouldn't be of much use for him because he'd probably predecease his father since he was engaged in a dangerous profession. So we'll discuss this evening some of the parameters of what license a person has to engage in dangerous activity for the sake of Parnassah. We touched on this a little bit when we discussed general risk tolerance in halacha over the summer in the context of Shomer Psalm Hashem and the Inyani Dioma of COVID restrictions. We touched a little bit about Parnassa, but I'd like to expand upon that this evening in honor of the Sedra. So the Sugya, the Shmaisa, so to speak, as to the license to engage in a certain amount of risky behavior for Parnassa purposes is one line in the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there, in the context of the din of Biyomot Titein Scharo, has the following. The Idah Hum Yivayle L'Kiditanya, Elav Hu Nosei Es Nafsho, the Pasuk by Schar Sachir, V'mnei Ma'al Zeh B'Kevesh V'Nitla B'Ilan U'Masers Atma L'Misa Lo Al Scharo. So why does a person go to great lengths, putting his life in danger? A person goes up to a ramp, he hangs on a tree, he does things that potentially could result in death for the sake of Parnassa, Lawal Scharo. So therefore, in context of the Pasuk, it's not right to withhold the wages of a laborer who puts his life on the line in order to make a decent living. Says Rashi, they love who no say, kol atzmo hu moser nafsho alav, lalos bakevish kavoa v'sikim b'atmalipol. So he goes up on a tall ramp, despite the risk of falling off and hurting himself or killing himself. If he's a harvester, he'll climb on a tree in order to harvest the olives, even though there's a certain degree of riskiness involved in that also. And to get the dates. And he's putting his life on the line literally in order to make a parnassa. Maybe he's going to fall down. So in that context, the drasha chazal here is the pasuk is telling us it's not right to withhold wages, especially given that a person goes to such great lengths just to make a parnasa. Chuvas imre esh, the Maram Ash, who is the chuvah of Chasam Sofer, Talmud of Chasam Sofer, chuvas imre esh yoredeya simin nun beis, was asked about the following. Tshuva dated Shvat Tuf Reish Aleph, 1841. Nichtavo Higiani Va'era Kihanu Mifakpek Al-Masha Nogu Mikamashanim Be'aretz Hazos of Negedol Yisrael. So he references a practice in Hungary that's been going on for some time. U'me'oz hitz Amsu Limso Gever Asher Ba'ad Ritzei Kesef Yachbo Tzviyirza L'Lachas El Hatzava. So in Hungary, apparently there was a certain quota of people that needed to serve in the army, but it wasn't the situation of cantonist Tsarist Russia, but people would do it for hire. If you would pay someone enough money, they'd be willing to go to the army. So Lafia Nira, Gamma Dinas Poland, yes, Amsulasas Kane. So they do that, and also they would in Poland also they would pay people to fill the quota to go to the army. Do they have the right to do that? Or no one objects. So maybe people look the other way because they have no breira. Anan manana besrayu, but that doesn't mean that we can look the other way. Lo achachei ki lo aya belibi lahashem umal zeh, aval asher isi, moser ksav zeh amr li ki bikesh, bimenu ki yera lahasig tshuva al zeh mimeni, hashashti ki ulai minias tshuvasi pogin lechvodo, so I feel bad, I don't want to detract from the honor of the shoel, who is a chashav arav, so I'm going to answer the shayla. So part of what he addresses is our question. So before he gets to our question, he says, discuss a little bit about when can you put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. If you're going to go to the army, there will be Mechal Shabbos situations, but maybe that ends up being an onus. That's not our topic now. But as far as the issue at hand of essentially putting yourself in a dangerous situation for purposes of parnasa, I mean, the people going to the army are getting paid, so they're getting a decent salary for doing it, or they're getting enough money to make it worth it for them. So he writes, Me'ata, elu ha'holchem la'tzava, im yavo eis nisiyasam, I'm sorry, the next paragraph. The Afghan be'es ha'melchama. So till now we dealt with Chil Shabbos. So that seems to be a solvable problem in his eyes. But what about war? So wartime is dangerous. So maybe you'd argue that if you're signing up to work in the army, to serve in the army, you're basically opening yourself up to being killed. So maybe that's a form of suicide. Dim Kane, Hayam Lchemes Rishus, Kamos Atzmal Sakana. If that was the case, then how do you ever have the right to engage in Lchemes Rishus? You're putting yourself in danger. The over Alvin Ishmarta. The Lohay Adonainu David Amelech, Marbim Lchemes Rishus. How is it that David Amelech had license to engage in Lchemes Rishus? Apparently, that's Mutter. And he's a Mitzayin. I am Besof Shvua Sa'edus. And Tosis. What's the Gemara there? So Zilberstein points out in a couple chuvos that what he presumably means is the Gemara in Shavuos has the following line, Shavuos Lamed Heim Beis, Malchus Adiktola Chad Mishisa Ba'amo Lo Me'ansha. If you have a king, a kingdom, a ruling government, where 1/6 of the population is killed, they don't get punished for that. Says Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Diktala, Behotzas L'Milchamas HaRishus Gomer. If you have a government where they go out to war, and less than 1/6 of the army gets killed in a Milchamas Rishus, that is an acceptable proportion, meaning there's an assumption that people will get killed in war. The normal is, I think Rav Shachter was quoting Minchas Chinuch, this effect that the normal rules of Piguach Nefesh don't apply in a war situation because that's the nature of war. So losing 1/6 of the army in wartime, even from Lachamas Rishus, is a reasonable proposition. So that seems to be a raya that it's not a impossibility of sending someone out to war. And even if that's going to be their parnasa, that would be an acceptable risk to take. Rav Zilberstein points out that the Gemara in Shavuos in the context of Melchemes Rishus is not necessarily a right to other situations. That's a special din melech, that a melech has a right to engage in Melchemes Rishus in wars of conquest. And that's part of the Mishpat HaMelech, that's part of the special prerogatives that a king has. But that's not necessarily transferable to other situations beyond war and beyond the limited context of Milchemes HaRishus. More famously is the tshuva of the Noda Behuda. So the tshuva of the Maharam Ash is limited perhaps to his scenario of going to war, but that's in the extreme. Even where there's a more robust risk to life, you're still allowed to engage in that, sounds like, for pay. The Noda Behuda more famously addresses the real topic in the Parsha of hunting. So is that permissible? So the Noda Behuda addresses that both in the context of Tzar Balei Chaim, but for our purposes, in the context of sakana as well. Chuas no dehuda tinyana yaradeya simin yud. So as far as the question is whether there is a license to engage in hunting, even though there's a risk to the hunter. Says in other Yehuda, umishahu ish hatzarech lazeh uparnasaso mitzeda kazu. If this is his livelihood that he hunts, bazel oshayach achzarius. So as far as the tzar bali chayim aspect and the achzarius aspect, that's not relevant. Barei shoftim behemas v'chayis v'alfas and mimisim dagim l'tzarech adam. No one objects to having regular shechita or regular fishing in order to have meat and fish to eat. Umali tahorim sheyochem ebsaram, umali tmeim sheyochem yifarnas atzmo, midmei arosein. So if we allow people to shecht in order to have meat to eat, and we allow people to fish in order to have fish to eat, then fundamentally that's no different than hunting if that's a person's parnasa, and he's going to sell the hides of the animals that he hunts, even if it's a non-kosher animal. If a person has the right to benefit from the animals of the world for human benefit. But stop doing it for fun. The thrill of the hunt, that is achzarius. So it's not just the inappropriateness of engaging in such achzarius, but even more fundamentally, there's an isser. What's the isser? Shrei kol oskim bezed tzrichim likanes beyaros. You have to go into the forest. To lahachnis atzam besakanus gedolos b'makom gidu dechayos. You have to put yourself into significant danger in hanging out with these animals that you're hunting that could turn on you and kill you. Rachmana amar v'nishmartem olan ashasechem. Umilanu gadol v'uman baki b'tzei the yosem e'esav. Esav was the most professional expert hunter in history. He was the professional. He was putting his life on the line every day. So the Nod Yehuda embellishes a little bit on the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't say beferish, but that's the gist of the Ramban that we read before. So in general, for no reason, you have no right to put yourself in that dangerous situation. If a person is poor and he's doing it for panasa, so that you're allowed to do.
So
that's a Gemara Bavmin. See, we started with that if you're doing it for Parnassah, it's permissible. That's a Gemara that we just read. So says the Nod Yehuda, as far as hunting is concerned, and by extension, other dangerous situations as well. So stop to put yourself in a dangerous situation. That's a violation of Nishmartam Olin Hashasechem. However, for purposes of Parnasa, there seems to be a quasi-Xeris HaKasav of Elaf Hunaseis Atmo, that a person does have the license to take certain risks for the purpose of Parnasa. Rav Zilberstein writes, based on this Nod Behuda, that could be extended beyond Parnasa as well, where there are other considerations where a reasonable risk may be warranted. He writes it in the context of participating in clinical trials where you have the possibility of saving other people. So depending on the cost-benefit analysis of how great the risk is to the individual, there would be license to engage in such activity for the benefit of others. Lo gara from Parnassa, where you have the hatter of they love who no say as asthma. Then we have the Tshuva of Ramosha expanding on this Nod Behuda. Tshuvas Igros Moshe Choshe Mishpat Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Dalid. Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Dalid. Ramosha writes, are you allowed to, we quoted this last time over the summer, are you allowed to be a professional ball player, even where there is a significant risk to life and limb. Nishalti me'echad emoto lisparnes b'mitzchag zrikas hakadurim. And you have parnasa from throwing balls, chenikra ball. Sheish lochus zakana, k'di'ir le'echad mikama olafim shenisake. It's not a very likely sakana, but one out of every few thousand people gets injured. So he thinks it's mutter based on elav huna say safma, huna elav no say nafsho. That's the pasuk, the Gemara and Bava Metzia, that you're allowed to engage in risky behavior for the sake of parnasa. Here, Ramosha acknowledges there's a little bit of a different part of the equation, because it's not only the danger to you, but if you're engaging in dangerous ball playing, then that could put other people's life in danger as well. So as long as the other person is part of the same profession willingly, then that would be okay as well. Means if you're on one football team and the other football team are forced conscripts who don't want to be there, so then there might be an issue. But if everybody's signed up for the football team of their own volition, and they're doing it to make millions of dollars, then that would be a permissible engagement in Parnassa based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, despite the possibility of physical risk. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Tes Simen Yud Zayin, Chelek Tes Simen Yud Zayin in his Kuntas HaRefua extends this as well to people in the medical profession. Aside from the matter of Hatzalah and the fact that you are allowed to take certain risks to save the lives of others in certain situations, but he also notes the Noda Behuda is relevant in that context as well, that this is their Parnasa. So as part of the Parnasa, you're allowed to engage in such behavior, even if you're putting your life in some degree of risk as being a member of the medical profession. Chuvas Torah Lashma, the Ben Ish Chai, Simon Reish Ayin Beis, quotes a medrash in addressing the following shaila. So a person left a tzava that his son should not travel to dangerous places. So is the son allowed to travel on a sea journey where the father had left a tzava that he shouldn't put himself in a dangerous situation? So he goes to Medrash Rabbah in Bereshis Parsha Vav. Komar Hashem and Osem B'yam Darach V'mayim Azim D'Siva. Rabbanon Omri and Osem B'yam Darach Me'aseres V'adachag V'mayim Azim D'Siva Minachag V'adachanaka. So there are different seasons where sea travel is more dangerous than others. Reb Nasan Kohen Achua D'Rebichia Bar Abba Havim Mefarsh B'yam. He was going on a sea journey. Amar Leila Achua Tzali Oy Daven for me, because it's dangerous to travel on the seas. Amalei ma nisli alach, ma da'akatar lulfcha kator raglacha. So why should we daven for you? You're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Why should we daven? So he goes on to quote, and then he said that because there are different seasons where it's more dangerous than others to travel, you should only travel during the safer travel seasons. That's what the Medr says. So says the Ben Ish Chai, V'imkein, Zav ben yachol leilich b'yam me'atzeres v'adachag. So this guy can travel during the safe travel season. Aval acher kach lo yelech b'shvil tzavas avit. But here, where his father commanded him not to go, he shouldn't travel. V'kol shekein b'tokef achoref shehu, especially in the winter, it's even more dangerous. And he says it may depend on where, what seas we are talking about. So Rav Zilberstein points out that the Ben Ish Chai is only saying where your father left at Tzava not to travel, then you should follow his wishes. But Stam, if there's a tzorach for Parnasa, then you could travel even if there's a certain amount of danger. You know, the recommendation of the Medrash is that you should try to restrict your travel to safer seasons, but fundamentally there's no isser in traveling even during a more dangerous season if it is for the purpose of Parnas. Rav Zilberstein quotes that he asked the Rav Elyashiv the following shayla: can a Rosh Yeshiva travel to give shir in one of the roads in the Shtachim where the Arabs potentially could fire on you, could shoot at you? So apparently, quotes Rav Elyashiv said, if that's Tzara Parnasa, his Parnasa is to give shirim, so even if there's a limited risk of sakana on the roads, you can travel on those roads because that is your that's your parnasa. But he says, or Zilberstein says, the fact that there's a heter to engage in certain risky behavior for the purpose of parnasa doesn't mean that that you could force them to do it. So he was asked the shayla in one of the Gaza conflicts 15 years ago. That there's someone who's working in a factory around the periphery of Gaza during one of the dangerous seasons where there are regular rocket attacks. And the employer insisted that the employee show up to work because it's true that it's possible that they may come under fire, but the actual risk of a rocket landing in that factory at any given time is relatively minimal. So Rav Zilberstein wrote that a person definitely has the right, if this is his job, to show up to work at such a facility where there is a possibility that you're in the line of fire within reason. But it would be difficult to be mechayev someone to do that because the fact that you have an allowance to engage in risky activity for parnasa doesn't mean that you're mechayev to engage in risky activity for parnasa. And that would be at the discretion of the individual. And then what the contractual ramifications of that are, and that's the kind of topic we discussed at the beginning of COVID, as far as the Chosha Mishpat Schiris Polim, ramifications of a Makas Medina situation. A slightly related question to this of risky behavior for Parnassa is the Tshuva of the Marivayel, Simen Kuf Kuf Hei. Marivayel addresses the following. Ech shabishlichu seich ne'arag Reb Ezra Hashem yikam dama. So apparently someone sent Reb Ezra on a mission and he was killed while he was on the mission. So what responsibility does the Mishaleach have for dispensing someone on a mission that ended up costing him his life? So he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sadi Hey, I'm sorry. Quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sadi Hey, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu David, An Masai Yehei Oven Zatamin Biyadecha. So how long will you bear the responsibility for this avera? Al Yadcha Nerag Nov Yerakohanim. Al Yadcha Nerag Doeg Vachitofel. Al Yadcha Nerag Shalosh Shoshes Banav. So David HaMelech was responsible for the fact that Nov was killed off, for the fact that Doeg and Achitofel were killed, for the fact that Shaul and his sons were killed. Alma, Alpha gav the David HaMelech lo pasha b'midi. David wasn't directly involved in any of these murders. Rach shal yado b'ala takola. He was indirectly responsible. Afilo achi nevash. He nevertheless was punished. So here, Kolshekein, the guy sent this person on a mission, and he was killed on the way. So you have to be concerned that maybe you are responsible. So you should be mekabel atanis 40 days, whatever the kapara be. Be'er Sheva, and that Gemara in Sanhedrin has a similar comment. That similar ma'aseh shaya and based on his gemara paskin, that the person needs a certain level of tshuva for being responsible for the murder of the person that he sent on a mission. Tshuva semech sedek, the kadma and simon vav, addresses a similar shayla of a person who was paid to travel on a certain shlichus. And he ended up dying of he ended up dying on the way. Fell into water, drowned. So what's the responsibility of the person who hired him for the shlichus? So the Tzemach Tzedek notes that one could distinguish between the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Marival quotes and the situation that he's dealing with, because in the Tzemach Tzedek situation, the Marival situation, there's no indication that there was any payment involved. You asked someone to do a favor and he got killed on the way. But in the Tzemach Tzedek situation, this was his job. He was a courier. He's being paid to travel. The fact that he was killed on as part of his job, so that's not the responsibility of the Mishaleach per se, because the Mishaleach was simply hiring him for a normal shlichus for pay. So there the degree of responsibility may be more limited. David HaMelech had a greater responsibility because his actions more directly led to the various events that David was held accountable for in that Gemara. So the Tzemach Tzedek suggests that maybe it's not exactly the same, and maybe there's less responsibility if you hire someone because that's part of the Parnassa allowance to engage in some risky behavior for the purpose of Parnassa. Rav Asher, in a couple of his recent Corona Tshuvas, quotes some of this literature in the context of the responsibility and what kind of a tshuva does a person need to engage in if they were indirectly responsible for transmitting the virus that killed other people. So one of the shailas that he has in print in one of the Minchas Asher recent volumes was a healthcare worker, a nursing facility worker who was exposed and didn't isolate and then went into the facility, was asymptomatic and ended up presumably infecting other people, some of whom, or at least one of whom, passed away. So what kind of a tshuva is necessary in that case? So he quotes some of this literature, the tshuvas Marival that you mentioned, the Tzemach Tzedek, as being relevant to that shaila as well. But the bottom line is that somewhat independently or related to, but more broad than the standard Shomer B'Sam Hashem, is the fact that the Gemara Bava Metzia does indicate, as we began, that there is a certain assumption allowance that a person can tolerate a certain amount of risky behavior for the purpose of Parnassa, because that's the nature of Parnassa, and be it Gzeiras HaKasuv or an allowance, that within reason, that is part of the equation of what a person can do for Parnassa. Obviously, there are some red lines, and only take that too far, but that's what the literature we looked at tonight seems to point to.
A police officer, same idea.
Yeah, that's what Rav Zilberstein talks about in one of his tshuvas in the volume of Shiurim to Doctors. He talks about someone who is hired to defuse bombs. So that's also a pretty risky behavior. But number one is Parnassa. And number two, it's also a certain amount of Atzalas HaRabim. So just as going to war involves a certain amount of Atzalas HaRabim if it's a defensive war. So they're also, you have that combination of factors to allow. And if someone were to say, I don't want that job, as long as there are other people in society who can do it and are willing to do it, then that's a prerogative to not pursue it. But if a person is willing to take that risk, that seems reasonable.
Thank you.
Thank you. What about going to a wedding now? That may or may not be socially isolated or not, or semi isolated.
That's not Parnassa, unless you're the caterer.
That would be Uther.
That's not our topic tonight. That's what we discussed over the summer of Shomer B'Sam Hashem, but that would not fall under the. Unless you're the caterer or the photographer, so then you can figure out what the degree of risk is and whether that's a reasonable risk for Parnassa.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Hey, good Shabbos.
Thank you.
I was thinking.